Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. First of all, here's wishing all the viewers of Money 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 a very happy, healthy and prosperous new year. May your investments grow, may your worries fall, and may your wealth soar in this new decade that we are in. Today's show is for all those of us who are looking to take a loan for our discretionary spends in 2020 and even beyond. What will the banking industry offer its credit card and personal loan customers in the new year? Will interest rates get lower from where we are? What is the best way to borrow smart? That is what we're going to discuss on the show today. My guests are Sudipta Roy, Head of Unsecured Assets at ICICI Bank, and Naveen Chandani, Chief Business Officer at Bank Bazaar. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining in. First and foremost, a very happy new year to all of you and your respective teams.
Thank you. Wishing you the same.
Thank you. Wishing you the same. Very happy new year too.
Well, let's get started then. It's an interesting topic that we have at hand. And I'm just thinking that the first question on my mind is, all of 2019, we spoke about the economic slowdown and how people are not feeling good. Now, did that show up in actual numbers when it came to unsecured loan growth? Because overall retail growth was much better than corporate growth. We know that. But what was happening with personal loans and credit cards?
See, if you look at the numbers, especially in the formal economy and the disbursement on personal loans that we have and the credit card spends, which is a proxy for consumption spending, honestly, we haven't seen much of a slowdown, right? So, you know, credit card spends continue to grow at about 27-28%. Our issuance has been extremely robust last year. We, you know, our cards in force have grown by 40% year on year. Our personal loans disbursements are 40% plus over last year, right? So, frankly, cards issuance, personal loans seem to be okay. So maybe there is a slowdown outside the formal sector, right? Which is probably does not show up in the consumption spending of credit cards and personal loans, which is primarily tier two and tier one and tier two towns. Maybe there's a broader slowdown outside that.
Okay, maybe there's a change. I mean, first we would save and then we would spend. Now we need to spend, save or not. That's a separate, wider personal finance issue. But Naveen, your thoughts? I mean, what have you been noticing in terms of inquiries on the side, the transactions that are happening?
Yeah. So I think, just a number, 13.2 crores were unique visitors on Bank Bazaar, which itself shows that, India is looking for financial products and information. So that was big. Sudipto spoke about, spends increasing. Cards, additional cards, 34% from January to September 19 versus 18 of all banks put together. Mm. So that itself shows the number of people who got cards mm-hmm. or wanted cards mm. that were issued has grown. So both these, if I put together, very clearly shows that there has been a growth in requirements. On the personal loan side, again, demand, interest skyrocketing. I think where we saw certain sectors or segments not getting loans, there was a little liquidity crisis. Mm-hmm. I think certain fintechs, certain NBFCs were not lending as mm-hmm. much. There was a little tightening in between. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think the demand is there.
Now, I want to move to the outlook as well for 2020. In general, I think the anticipation is that interest rates should go down even further because the RBI wants banks to transmit more. What kind of trends do you forecast? And who's borrowing? Is it millennials? Is it more young borrowers? I don't know if you guys do data crunching of the profile of people as well, but what's the sense you have on 2020?
Yeah. So let's touch on the segment first. Mm-hmm. The millennials, and I would break them in three age groups, mm-hmm. 22 to 27, 27 to 34 is mm-hmm. what I will call millennials. Mm-hmm. So the first segment, which is 22 to 27, believe it or not, more than 75% of the people already have a credit card who are on Bank Bazaar. Mm. So they are very digitally savvy.
Yeah.
Then there is a 27 to 34 years of age. Mm-hmm. These are the money mooners, as we call them. They are actually the largest segment and are borrowing the most, both on credit cards mm-hmm. as well as on personal loans.
Okay.
So that segment is by far, borrowing the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then is the 34 to 45, mm-hmm. which is, the wealth warriors.
Mm.
they have to look at household expenses, education for children. So that is more, I think, discretionary. They know where and how to spend it. So that's that's the segment. What is the outlook for 2020? I would say innovation. Two or three things are happening. The millennials will be given options to choose from either a lifestyle card, a travel card, a fuel card. And there will be, I think, solutions created to that. UPI has really done extremely well. I believe UPI with credit is going to be the future of in the 20s, you will see.
UPI with credit?
Correct.
Okay, explain this to us.
This is something, it's like your credit card. You have a line of credit, you've got a limit that has been given. Today on UPI, it actually minuses the balance in your account right away.
Yeah, it's a debit from your account.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the future is, the innovation that is coming in is fintechs and banks are looking to see how can I give you a credit in the flow of that particular purchase online.
Sudipta, your take on you know, the kind of innovation we're going to see in products and in general, what should we expect? I mean, as consumers, we want to know whether there'll be more cashbacks, more offers on our cards. That's what we're interested in.
I think, you know, 2020 will see a launch of a lot more co-brands cards in the market by all issuers, not only us, but, you know, the other issuers, especially in the airline space, in the hospitality space, in the F&B space. You will see a lot of new more co-brands coming in. Now, that will give customers a choice of picking up the one that they think is most relevant to them. Now, obviously, that's the first thing. The second thing, you know, coming on Naveen's point of view, that, you know, UPI can ride on UPI, through UPI, we'll be able to deliver some credit. We already are doing it. If you see an ICICI Bank or Pay Later product, right? It's a small credit line into which you can dip in through your UPI transaction. So
that's on
that
product.
That's the innovation which
that's
is coming.
On the innovation side. What about on the interest rate side? Because we keep hearing this whole debate about how there needs to be more transmission. How much of that is going to show up on the personal
loans? Interest rates have been on a downward trajectory, right? So it has been gradually moving down, right? So, but I do believe that it is probably, unless the RBI cuts up with comes up with furthermore repo rate cuts, right? The interest rate probably are probably one of the lowest that they have been in the last sort of 24
So you think
months.
It's fully transmitted for personal
loans? I think personal loans, it is fully transmitted because the fact is that, you know, for our large corporates who have large amount of employees and, you know, AAA rated corporates, the rates can go be as low as 10.99, right? So that's basically rock bottom.
So gentlemen, to take off from where we left, now let's talk about someone who needs to borrow. The first question, the most fundamental question that comes to mind when you're looking at a fancy phone or you're looking at a, you know, fancy new TV or a fridge is, should I just swipe my debit card and make life simple or should I borrow? Your thoughts to that basic question, Sudipta.
See, first and foremost thing, you need to plan your expenses. Now, if you are planning your expenses and if you think that there is an offer in the market which gives you interest-free EMIs, that means, you know, you have a phone which can be spread, purchase of that phone can be spread into 6 months and you do not pay any interest on it because the cash back on the interest comes to you. Then I would recommend every consumer to go for it because that adds certainty to your cash flows. And you exactly know that, you know, you need not shell out the entire money at the beginning, right? So, however, if you think that you have too much of surplus cash and you really, there is a deal which is not on EMI, right? That means you are getting a cash discount, which you won't get if you take it on EMI. Then I'd recommend that you take it on.
First of all, is there something called zero cost EMI? Does that even happen? Because someone's got to pay that interest, right? It has to be covered between the lender and, you know, the product manufacturer. There's no free lunch in life, right?
Yeah, typically the subvention is a sharing between the lender and the manufacturer. But it's very transparent for the customer. When we say zero cost EMI, that means though if you're swiping on a phone purchase, which is on equated monthly installments, you are charged the interest, but you're given a cashback equivalent to the cost of the interest.
Right. Okay, so, I pay the interest, but I'll get a cashback eventually.
You get a cashback eventually. And so it is really zero cost EMI.
Naveen, your thoughts?
I think from a very neutral perspective, I think understanding your budget, planning is important, right? So if I have the money to pay right now using my debit card or cash, and if I'm getting a discount, what is that cost today? Versus if I use my credit card and have to pay on due date, or I take a interest-free EMI, or I take a personal loan and I have a processing fee. Put all this together, It's a very easy calculation. Three things. I pay now, I pay later on a credit card, or I take a loan and pay later and have EMIs. What is my total cost? And then decide. If I have no liquidity now, you have only the second two options.
Exactly.
But if you have the liquidity now, you have these three options. Very simple calculation.
And it's, I think, really worthwhile to do that because, you know, make your hard-earned money work for you. I get that. Now, the next basic question that you arrive at is which of the second two options to choose? Suppose I do need to borrow. I need to either, you know, take an EMI scheme on my credit card or, you know, simply swipe my credit card. Vis-a-vis taking a personal loan, Sudipta, what would you want your customers to do and how to sort of negotiate that?
See, if you're doing consumption spending, like buying a phone or buying a TV, I would recommend that you take an interest-free EMI or take a consumer durable loan because they're short periods, you know, 6 to 12 months, at max 18 months. However, if you require a large ticket loan, right, you require something worth 4 lakhs, 5 lakhs, right, then you probably would need to take a personal loan because, you know, you need to spread it over a period of 36 months to 48 months.
Sure. So, like if you're funding a vacation, I mean, for
funding
that
a vacation, if you're doing home improvement, right? Some people take personal loans, you know, for funding medical expenses at point of time, right?
So, hopefully you don't have to do that because you've got a great insurance cover, but just in case.
But so basically, if you have a large ticket expense for which you require funding, I would recommend that you take a personal loan. If you're doing consumption spending, I would recommend that you take it on your credit card EMIs or you take it on a consumer durable loan. If you have too much liquidity and if you're getting an upfront discount, please go ahead, swipe it the full amount and take the discount.
Okay. Naveen, now, what's the range right now? I mean, personal loans rates are varying from what extreme to sort of what?
The range would be around 11% and it can go as high as 28%.
Wow.
It depends on your credit history and credit score. I think that is important. Every consumer needs to maintain a good credit score. So if you're taking a credit card or taking a loan, please pay on time so that your credit history is good and you get this 11% loan rather than being on the bottom end, which is a 28% loan. So it varies.
Which actually brings me to the important do's and don'ts. You know, on credit cards, if they're used right, then there could be, of course, lots of, you know, giveaways and lots of benefits as well. So what is it that you tell people? I mean, how to use a credit card wisely? What would your go-to points be?
Okay. So three big things. Why do you use a credit card first? One is convenience, second is savings, and third is building a credit history. So if I'm getting savings, which could be a 35-day credit-free period, rewards,
air miles,
lounge access, insurance cover, all those are good. Convenience, I can swipe it, I don't have to carry cash anywhere, and building a credit history. So those are the three main things, but I think all this comes with responsibility. Please pay on time. Don't go above your limit. Don't apply for multiple loans and cards at the same time. I think these are the three key things that you should be looking at.
The 28% interest that you mentioned on the higher side, were you referring to interest associated with a credit card or were you talking about personal loans?
Personal loans. That is from 11% to 28%. On credit cards, if you revolve, it could be from 24% to 36%. Actually a total no-no. And one more no-no, on a credit card, please don't go to the ATM and withdraw money. Use your debit card for that. So know what is a debit card and a credit card and actually distinguish between the
two. Very, very important. I completely take your points. Sudipta, you want to add to that and the general advice you'd want to give out to viewers, customers?
So the general advice is that you have to be responsible while spending on your credit card because the fact is that credit cards, because you have a credit line associated with it and it's something that you pay later, some people actually go on a shopping binge and overspend. Right? One of the most problems on credit cards is overspend. But what we do is that now we have tools. Right. If you open your app, you will see what has been your average spends. What have you spent on? Right. So you have, we are, you know, there are certain issues with budget planners, especially on the app. So what you have to do is that I agree with Naveen that you have to spend responsibly. You have to make sure that you keep track of your due dates. You keep track of when you need to pay because the late payment charges, etc., can add up. The interest can add up on credit cards. So you cannot be sloppy while dealing with credit cards.
That's right.
Right? So you have to be careful. It's a very, very useful tool. You give almost close to a 30 to 45 day free credit period. You get reward points with it. You get a lot of benefits with it. You get lounge access. Right? So lots of stuff comes with it. Right? But if you are irresponsible while using it, it can become a bit of a bother.
Completely agree, completely get that. Quick last word before we move to the next part of our conversation on travel cards, because they've become really important.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I got myself a travel card this year because of the sheer convenience. What are the trends that you're noticing here on Forex, on travel, and what should we expect?
See, outbound travel from the country is growing. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that the rupee of late has been a bit volatile, mm-hmm. right? So if you are having a large amount of outlay, you are going to US or going to Europe, where mm-hmm. you know we are at a disadvantage compared to the currency rates, right? Mm-hmm. It makes sense to load currency in your travel cards, mm-hmm. right? Foreign exchange currency in your travel cards, and take multi-currency travel cards. Mm-hmm. That means, you know, you need not carry multiple cards, you have different mm-hmm. wallets. And mm-hmm. what happens is you fix your exchange rate for the trip from the beginning at the point that you load it, right? And you mm-hmm. go overseas and spend on it. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very popular. But what I would also tell people is that look at what is the level of foreign exchange markup that your credit card is charging vis-a-vis what is the reward points your credit card is giving on foreign exchange, on foreign spends.
Okay.
Many credit cards give aggressive reward points on foreign spends.
Ah, okay.
So if you take that into account uh-huh. and you subtract that from the foreign exchange markup that the card is charging, right, you might see that, you know, it might make sense for you to spend on your credit card fully. Right, because there is no arbitrage. But
typically,
really.
It's a pretty steep markup, I think, for the Forex conversion every time.
Typically, the industry markup is around 3.5% is the industry markup. But there are cards on credit cards available.
So
like
apart from the Forex differential, you will be paying 3.5% more on every transaction that you do overseas.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but there are a lot of cards who actually mm-hmm. give aggressive reward points on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, and also there are cards which have cut that. Mm-hmm. Right, like one of our mm-hmm. Cards in issued by ICICI Bank, we give Forex markup as low as 1.5%.
So, gentlemen, I think safety is the most important aspect. You mentioned responsibility of being a good borrower. That, of course, is prime. Now, let's come to safety. And, you know, Naveen, what are your views over here? Because we still get the horror stories of a fraud on a card or a transaction that wasn't authorized. What are the clear do's and don'ts?
I think the first is never share your card details, whatever it may be. So, no CVV, no PIN. Nothing should be shared. I think that's the first thing. The second thing is go to websites which are authentic. I think sharing data on a website which you're not aware of. Never.
Or on an app, because so many apps
or an app.
ask for your card details.
Exactly.
Can we store your card details here?
Correct. Third is when you're punching your credit card PIN, there are lots of cameras around. And now there are new kind of, point of sale machines, the EDS machines. Just be sure that you're not actually exposing that. So these are very simple things. Mm-hmm. Also, at times, people ask us to share credit card details for, kind of an advance payment or blocking of a card.
Yeah.
Ensure that, again, you don't share a photocopy of both sides of your credit card. These are simple things you might get, in the hurry, just actually share it.
That's true. That's true. I know of a friend who had to sort of learn this the hard way. Sudita, your advice on preventing frauds?
So first thing is that I'll first pick up the phishing frauds because phishing is a problem in the country today where people call you and ask for your one-time passports or ask for your card details. Yeah. I would tell everyone that no bank ever calls and asks you for a card number or your one-time passwords. Mm-hmm. So even if, no matter how convincing is the call, never give out your card number,
OTP.
never give out your one-time password.
Yeah.
So the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is that when you are transacting on an e-commerce site, just make sure that the page is a secure page. It will show HTTPS. That means, it's a secure page, right? And you see other signs, like whether it's a VeriSign secure site or the security protocols on that particular page are well displayed, right? Do not go and use your cards on dodgy sites, right? The third thing is that when you're traveling overseas or wherever, never let your card out of sight, right? Because what happens is that if someone takes your card and goes behind in a restaurant to swipe, right?
And now you have NFC, you don't even need to enter your PIN. So,
many
of the cards
just
swipe just like
that. That's up to 2,000 rupees. So, frankly, any NFC...
But overseas, I'm saying.
Overseas also. NFC, the fraud levels have been really, really low because the card never goes out of sight. Mm. And it's instant there itself, right? I would consider more concerning places when someone takes your cards out of your eyesight, right? So, do not let your cards out of your eyesight. If someone is taking it to the back of the restaurant, please tell, I will come with it and I will swipe it myself.
Fair enough.
And last but not
the
least...
Worth the walk, I'm sure.
Worth the walk. Right? And last but not the least, I would say, take cards from issuers who actually give you controls. For example, on our bank platform, you can turn off your international transactions, you can turn off your online transactions. Okay. So when you come back from an overseas trip, just turn on your online international transactions. Mm-hmm. So that way you know that even if there has been some compromise or possibility of a compromise, right, your international transactions are turned off, right? So I would say, you know, you have to be careful and you have to use technology provided by your issuer to keep yourself safe.
Okay, all right. So that's some very sound advice that I think our viewers will keep in mind. Before we go, I'm going to ask you for your one resolution of the new year for the new year, and maybe the one general, you know, financial advice that you'd like to give to the Money Money viewers. Naveen?
One resolution would be that I stick to a plan and a budget. A plan is that I do yoga every day, and budget is I don't overspend. I think that's important.
Any advice to our viewers? Or the second one is the advice for the viewers
as well? It's for both of us. It's for all of us.
Okay, Sudeepta.
My resolution for the new year is to work out more often and control my diet, because I travel to a lot and eat a lot of undesirable stuff, right? But advice to viewers primarily is that make sure that you check your bureau score once in 6 months, right? Credit bureau score. Yeah. Because most of the banks offer it free these days, right? Providers like Bank Buzzer also offer it. Mm-hmm. So once in 6 months, it's a good discipline to go and check your bureau
score. Just to know where you stand.
In fact, I will add to that, because alternate data is being used. Mm-hmm. So not only your bureau score, your habits in social media also is being tracked.
Wow. Someone's watching you somewhere or everywhere rather these days. All right, gentlemen, very interesting conversation. Thank you very much for sharing all the insights with us. Again, season's greetings to you. Wish you a great 2020. And we wish you viewers a very happy new year once again. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I-U-P-A-D-H-Y-A-Y. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.